Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Rachel Lunavan, your host this week, and I'm joined on the line by news correspondents Declan O'Brien, Anne O'Donoghue, and Noel Barden. The paper this week is jam-packed with news, and of course, all anyone can talk about at the minute is the weather, which we cover in depth, from potential sports on the table to how to manage on-off grazing. Before we go any further, though, I want to mention that our Renewables Roadshow is kicking off next Tuesday, the 9th of April, at the Clayton Hotel, Silver Springs, County Cork. They'll also be taking place in Kilkenny, Cavan and Athlone over the coming months, so keep an eye out on the dates for those events in the paper over the coming weeks. Back to brass tacks now, Declan O'Brien, I'll come to you first. Again, another weather-focused story on the front page. What is Minister Hayden saying, Dec?
Well, it's all down to, are they going to give assistance to farmers over the lengthening of the winter, I suppose, and the impact of the atrocious weather? And at last week's Fodder and Feed Committee meeting, the department kind of poured cold water on it and said, look, it, there is no money here for any fodder aid, not even a package, but measures. But then Martin Hayden, the Minister for State, came out yesterday and said to us, well, look, we haven't closed the book on it. You know, there are options there if this weather continues as it's going. And let's face it, we're facing three blasts of rain coming in over the next few days, if the weather forecasts are to be believed. So he's saying if this continues, we'll have to look at measures. So he's saying something like a bit of give and take on the farmer schemes. He said possibly assistance to get fodder to where it's needed most, or possibly some cash flowing measures to assist in financing low interest loans to support cash flow to farmers. Now, it was all fairly watery, fairly vague, but it is a sense that there's mixed messaging coming out of the department on this. If you have, on the one hand, you have a senior department official on Friday blankly saying, OK, there's no loot here, lads. You know, you're going to have to get cattle out and get cows out and muddle through this. And by Wednesday, you have a junior minister in the department saying, well, we can't actually close the door on it. There may have to be some measures brought in to assist farmers. So I think it may be a chink of light for farmers, or it may be, for some people, a sense of confusion that, well, where are we going here? Now, if you were to believe the lads from Tagisk, and they were fairly strident on this, on the there was a webinar the other night, there was 500 farmers logged onto it. And the boys were saying, look it, you've got to get cows out. And Joe Patton, the head of dairy knowledge transfer, doubled down on that to us as well this week, saying, get him out. Get him out for 5 hours a day. Get the yard emptied. Get your head emptied of all the pressure. And start moving on the grazing. So I would say it's maybe, as I say, a chink of light. Maybe it's a confusion factor. But it is as well. It shows that weather is the only show in town at the moment. And weather worries are where the whole farming scene is at. We all know that the tillage sector is at a standstill. The TAGA survey that was presented to the Fodder and Feed Committee the other day makes for stark reading. Only 4% of dairy farmers have cows out full time. 49% have cows in full time. 29% of dry stock farmers have only 10 days fodder, 10 days or less. And that was when the survey was carried out. So that could be running out as we speak. So there is a lot of angst out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the big frustrating thing for dairy farmers, I suppose, especially Dick, is that they wagons of grass, they just can't get out on it. Can't get out to graze it or zero graze it, I suppose, even. But yeah, and I suppose the you've both talking about that fodder committee, you've both the IFA and the ICLSA calling for them to reconvene on Friday. So today, as this podcast goes out, so we'll see what comes of that and if that happens and what sports, I suppose, are brought to the table for farmers, which is really what they need at this present time.
Well, I think I suppose, what they really need, Rachel, is the sun to start shining and a bit of drying.
Yeah.
And I think that's really... And I think what Joe Patton, the point he was making was, get out on the dry land. If you have dry land and every farm has a few dry fields, get them out there and get the ball rolling. And he was saying, you can't wait for the perfect conditions because perfection is not reality. It was a bit of tough love, but maybe it in some instances it's what farmers need at the moment, but in others, maybe if they're looking out at cows and they're up to their necks and are up to their hocks in Lutruk, as they'd say, you know, they don't need to hear that either.
Yeah, I suppose different scenarios for different parts of the country, but I suppose that's a fair point that if you have dry spots, to get them out and, as you say, get the ball rolling, get some feeling of spring in the air and into your mind, I suppose, as well, is important. But Dick, in a similar vein, I suppose on page 4, you're writing about feed sales, and in general, I suppose you have straw, fodder beet, concentrates, they're all on the go and demand is up for them because of what's happening, I suppose.
No more than your story the previous week, Rachel, it was only doubling on that ball, really, that the boys are saying, the compounders, the merchants are saying that March 2023 was a record year for sales. Now, they're saying that it depends on what part of the country you're in, but, you know, down in South Munster, the southeast, I'd say they're topping that record, but in most of the country, they're matching it again. And March 23, March last year, was a terrible month. So, you know, that's a reflection of the level of sales that are going out. And there's no sign of it ebbing at all, you know. Now, what Tagascar is saying is that this is different to 2013 and 2018 because there's fodder in the country. But what fodder traders are saying to me is, yeah, it's in the country, but farmers are not letting it go. And it's very difficult to get silage at the moment. And who knows what quality it is. There's the straw coming in from England is beginning to dry up. There's an awful lot of beet being sold, chopped and washed. You know, that's going for, chopped beet is going for €80 a ton and a washed 65 to 70. I had one man in the southeast who got bales of haylage and was moving them for €50 a bale. So there is still strong demand out there. There's, even though Tagus are saying there's only a small percentage of farmers that are out of fodder, literally dry, they're keeping a floor on the prices because they're hunting feed. They have to. But that percentage is going up week on week as the weather doesn't improve. So this situation, unless the sun starts shining and unless we get the Sahara sun, I'd say for the end of this month, you know, this thing is going to get, could potentially get a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, for sure, Dick, for sure. Just moving on now to your story on page 20. It's a feature about ash dieback. I suppose it's an issue that we're all aware of, but I suppose when you don't have forestry, you're not dealing with it directly. It's one that I suppose is often forgotten about. But you were talking to forest owners in Limerick and Tipperary about, I suppose, their issues with it. Jake, what are they saying?
Well, they're just saying, illustrating the total mess that it is. You know, I was talking to Simon White from the Limerick Tip forestry owners, and Simon White was just outlining the way he planted for our ash back in the early 2000s. He was pretty sure that he planted the ash on good land. He was saying, well, you know, this is going to give me, not only will it be a pension fund down the line and something to hand over to the next generation, but managing the forest, we're going to give him an ongoing income from thinnings and from holly butts. But now he has over 100 acres of forestry, all told. But he said, this 20 acres now is a total mess. He said, because the ash dieback came in, he couldn't clear it out of it when he had the opportunity and when it would have made money for him as firewood. Because the disease moved so quickly through the forest, he wasn't able to get a felling license in town or in time. So he said that once the tree died, once the trees lost their leaf cover, a whole quagmire of bushes came up underneath them. And he said to clear it now is both dangerous, he said, and he said costly. He was claiming that, you know, they're offering 2,000 a hectare to clear it. He reckons he won't stop at 6 to clear some of his and to replant. But he says he has no faith in replanting now, because he said if he replants with Sitka spruce, if the bark beetle comes in, he says he's in the same hole in the ground, because the whole responsibility and cost of that has been foisted on the grower. So he's totally disillusioned with the department and with the forestry service on it. And his kind of sentiments were echoed by Derek McCabe, who's up in Oldcastle in County Meath. And McCabe said that he was nearly an evangelist for forestry. He was persuading his neighbours and friends to get into the game. But he says that he's been totally, the good has been taken out of it by his experience with ash dieback. He's particularly sore with the department that a neighbour of his came in, brought in saplings to plant an ash plantation. These were found to be diseased. The department came in, took the whole lot out, cleaned it out. But he said you could throw a stone from his place into this cleared out forest. But nobody told him that it had been diseased. He says within 2 years, now there's no suggestion that it definitely came from that source. But he said if it had been TB, he'd have been shut down straight away. He said that the department therefore has culpability in bringing in this disease. He said, but they've been very slow to help growers out in dealing with it. Now he joined the schemes to take out the plantations and to replant. But like Simon White, he said it cost him a hell of a lot more than he got in grant aid to do that. And he said he's just trying to put it behind him now, but it's left a very sour taste. But it's, I think it's when you go down to those personal stories and you see it's all grand to talk statistics, to talk how many farmers are impacting what acreage. But when you go down to the individual cases and you see the implications of this and what it has meant for individual farmers, it's then that you see the real heart of it, you know?
Yeah, they're two eye-opening case studies, Dick, and I suppose when it comes down to the their own individual issues, it's definitely, it adds to it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I think that it brings home, you know, the real cost of this. And both of them would say that they're not the worst cases. You know, that there are elderly people who are looking at this as primarily as something to hand on, you know. I know what they'll be handing on is just as Simon White was saying, it's a total mess. And he's saying the best option for him now is to leave the 20 acres there. He's just written it off. Useless land now, and he says covered in a dying, in a dead forest.
Not a good outlook, is it?
No.
For the industry, but that was very interesting story, Dick. Thanks for that.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I'm going to move on to you now. I'm moving back to dairy. There's milk top-ups on the way to some Kerry suppliers. How much of a top-up are they due to get, Anne? And I suppose, what's the criteria, I suppose?
Yeah, Rachel, during the week, Kerry announced that they were going to pay a 0.86 centilitre top-up, that's excluding VAT, for all qualifying supplies, in 2023. So we did a few sums, and Brennan did a few sums, not myself now. And for the average 500,000 litre supplier, that's going to be worth €4,500 to them. So a nice top up there. This obviously comes following a top up that was announced in January, and that was 0.95 centilitre excluding VAT top up, and that was for the second half of 2023. Now, following that announcement in January, Kerry Co-op said its leading milk price committee was going to work with Kerry Group to ensure that the outstanding balance in the leading milk price would be paid. Because obviously a lot of farmers will know, and particularly Kerry suppliers will know, Rachel, that Kerry committed to paying the leading milk price. So this latest top-up, Kerry Group said the decision was made to issue it following consultation with the board of Kerry Cooperative Creameries, and the payment will be made on average Kerry solids and on all qualifying milk solids supplied under the milk supply contract in 2023. So in total, that's going to be worth 10.5 million to Kerry suppliers. So obviously suppliers are welcoming it, Rachel. Then some are also saying that it's money that they are owed anyway, because Kerry have committed to paying the leading price. So, but everyone is kind of in agreement that all money is welcome at the moment, particularly given all the weather woes that Declan outlined earlier that we won't go back into. We'll stay off the weather for a while, but that's the situation there.
Yeah, I suppose money is always one thing that will lift the moods of farmers. And so sticking with money in one sense, you're right, you've also on that page how BIS applications are going, and I suppose it's an important one for farmers to be aware of, or they won't be getting their BIS money, or their, as in the old days, the single farm payment. How are applications going so far, Anne? And I suppose you have a little bit about clinics there as well, if farmers want to attend clinics.
Yes, so far, Rachel, there's just over 16,000 farmers off the mark with and have their BIS applications in. I suppose very important to say from the start, it's the last line in that story I have in page 3, but it's probably one of the most important things to highlight, is that the deadline for BIS applications is the 15th of May this year. So some farmers will be aware, but it's very handy to know that the Department of Agriculture is running a series of nationwide clinics. There's 17 of those, and they've been kicked off already. So I think there was two on already this week, and the ones coming up for next week are in the Sheraton in Athlone on Tuesday, the 9th of April, and then the Ardrey House Hotel in Tuam in the 10th of April. And then they're going to Mayo. It's going to be in the Great National Hotel in Ballina on Thursday, the 11th of April. Those clinics, you can come in. It's one-to-one. And I think that's really the key thing about these clinics. Darren Carty would have always said they're very well received, obviously, because they're one-to-one. You can come in. Farmers are advised to bring their agfood.ie details, maybe just their herd number, PPSN number, just to identify themselves. And there's actually someone there to sit down, talk to you and help you and answer your questions, which I think in this day and age, when a lot of kind of things has gone to chatter on the phone, it's really nice to sit down in front of someone and to get that help. Those clinics, they run from 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And obviously there's more going on throughout the month. There's 17 of them in total. I think there's been two already this week. So it might be something that some farmers would be interested in. We'll have further updates in next week's paper and after that on how BIS applications are going. And I'm sure we'll start seeing a rapid rise, Rachel, in the next couple of weeks.
I'm sure a lot of farmers leave it to the last minute, as always. But
I'd be like that myself, Rachel, so I would.
And myself too, Anne. So we can't blame anyone else. But on page 9, Anne, you have a bit about the reaction to the funding that was announced for BVD last week. Farmers will now get €2.40 per calf, up to 25 cows. So that's an extra 40 cent on what they were getting last year. They were only getting €2 a calf last year. But still, I suppose it has got, gating reaction, and there from IFA particularly.
Yeah, Rachel, I think that's a fair enough comment. IFA really did hit out at the BVD package announced by the Minister for Agriculture. The animal health chair, TJ Maher, said that this was an insult to farmers. And just kind of his point was that the package announced for 2024 was 3.75 million. And he says that BVD costs to farmers are almost 10 million per annum. So he's kind of looking at that shortfall and saying these are the costs that farmers are absorbing. And he said since the BVD programme started, farmers have absorbed 120 million in testing and associated costs. I suppose, as you pointed out, Rachel, you kind of gave the farm costs, which is the farm level cost, which is what farmers will be interested in. But it's important to note as well, like the BVD package, as I said, for this year is 3.75 million, and that's up from 2.25 million last year. So it has been an increase, but I suppose the IFA are pointing out that gap is still there. And also they had a point as well about, they were saying kind of postage, which is something you wouldn't think of. Postage has increased significantly since the BVD programme started. You said scathing, and that was a fair enough comment. They said it was an insult to farmers, and it's infuriating that the Minister of Agriculture couldn't come forward with an appropriate package and that removed the cost burden to farmers. So that was their reaction to that, Rachel.
Yeah, an interesting one there, and I suppose expected when there's any increases like that, and I suppose they're not what the farmers and what farmers have been looking for. Noel, you've been sitting quiet there. I'm going to come to you if you're still with us. On page 16, you have an account of ICSA's losses from last year. What were in those accounts that you saw?
Yeah, so this, we got our hands on the accounts of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association over the week. And I suppose their set of accounts that they lodged for the accounting year of 2023, it showed that the association showed a loss. And that was a loss of just over €47,000 after tax adjustments. And that comes after a year, 2022, where it did post a profit of over €8,000. So there was quite a turnaround there in the space of 12 months. And I suppose the change from a situation of profit to loss, when you drill down into the numbers and see that its turnover fell, the turnover fell from €324,000 down to €289,000. And this happened at the same time that its operating costs rose from €312,000 up to €336,000. So both those figures look to be moving in the wrong way. I suppose then to summarise it up into the overall financial standing of the ICSA, did go into 2023 with over 55,000 euro on hand, and it ended the year with 16,000 euro on hand. So there is still some cash reserves there, but they have ate in fairly substantially into what they brought into the 2023 accounting year. I suppose that it was just the set of accounts that we had, so there was no commentary with them to see kind of what was driving those changes. But I suppose on the operating costs, you might say that it is a business, or they are running operations like anyone else, be it a farm or a business, and costs have gone up. But as for the reason that turnover fell, we're not too sure about that one. So it'll be an interesting one. And I suppose another side to it is that the association is looking for a new secretary general. As we would have covered off in this podcast and in the paper, it's outgoing secretary general and long-standing secretary general Eddie Punch is in the race for Europe in Ireland South as an independent. So yeah, I suppose they were the main takeaways from the ICSA accounts.
Yeah, and all big boots to fill there in terms of Eddie Punch's role, and interesting look at the accounts from last year and all. And I suppose a kind of a quirky story now on the next page 17, Noel, grant aid for vets, and I see you're writing here about scissors and things like that. What's the story here?
Yeah, so I suppose this is something that we came across over the week, and as far as I know, it hadn't been overly publicised or announced formally by the department by way of a press release, as we'd usually hear when a scheme is opening up. But a veterinary practice capital modernisation scheme was opened up to vets, and it will remain open until the end of this month. And what this scheme is doing is it's essentially providing grant aids for vets who carry out TB testing to upgrade their equipment and their practice facilities. And the rate of grant aid for this stuff is 50%, but there are payment caps on kind of each investment area. So overall, a vet operating on their own could stand to gain 4,500 euro if they're able to maximise, or they're able to essentially draw down the maximum under each investment heading. And what we're seeing more and more of, I suppose, is these larger kind of practices with a couple of vets under the one roof. These kind of operations could draw down quite a bit more. So I suppose what's covered off in the scheme is everything from clippers, calipers, syringes, toolboxes. So kind of, I suppose, the staples of TB testing, and then right up to laptops and IT upgrades. So there's a fairly big scope there. And I suppose the department is justifying opening up the scheme to say that these better pieces of equipment will kind of reduce human error. It'll speed up the time it takes for vets to share data with the department, and it'll take a lot of practices kind of into line with what might be future TB policies. So that's kind of the justification behind it. And I suppose vets, of course, farmers will know that farmers do pay their testing fee to the vets, but the department also pays vets for carrying out TB testing. And the rates that they get per animal was cut back, I suppose, during times where there would have been more austerity. So you're going back over a decade, but they were restored just about 2 years ago or so. So the vet fee section of the department's TB bill came to 13.3 million euro last year. And I suppose to put a bit of context on it, that's 18% of the Department of Agriculture's cost to run the programme. So it was interesting to see that there was more funding going to vets there, when there is quite a bit going already from both farmers and from the department itself. But yeah, the department's line on it is that vets are crucial to eradicating TB, and the investment is worth making. So there's been no overall budget announced for the scheme. I don't know if there is one within the department, or if they'll wait and see what the kind of uptake is on it. But a bit of good news for the few vets that might be listening, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. And as you said, I don't think it was overly publicised, so I'm sure there's maybe some vets reading the paper or listening this week that We'll be glad to hear it. But yeah, a lot of money tied up in the whole TV thing, Noel, really. And I suppose I said there's a lot of listeners would be shocked to hear the figures when you call them out there. But thanks for that, Noel. And that's it for this week's podcast, folks. As always, there's so much more inside the paper that we couldn't possibly cover on the podcast, but it's on shelves this week. And along with all the latest news stories, we have a 17-page focus on making pit silage and machinery section. And we also have a breeding focus on choosing the right beef bull this spring. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.